Seatbelts on, check your mirrors, volume up. The Under Construction Podcast with Aidan Power and Pat Moore starts now. Well, hello and welcome once again to Under Construction with Chadwicks, with Pat Moore and myself, Aidan Power. Pat, the weeks are flying by, but we've a whole lot more to come, and I think we have one of our biggest episodes yet.
We have. Look, we're normally used to two people. We've managed to pack in four on this occasion, so...
And this week, we are tackling interior design and architecture in Ireland. Two big subjects, so let's get stuck into it. And joining us first this week, it's a pleasure to welcome the creative director at Restless Design, Aoife Rattigan. Aoife, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
And thanks for joining us. So it's all about interior design, architecture in Ireland. Your area of expertise is on the inside, so to speak.
It is. Anything on the inside, I like to get involved in. Restless, we tend to focus on commercial projects a lot of the time. Hospitality, workplace, we do a lot of retail design. I've currently got a couple of pharmacies on site, a couple of offices, a little bit of residential, but we try to stick with commercial because I get to kind of flex my muscles a little bit more creatively on the commercial side than the residential.
Can you give us a bit more scope around what that means for, you know, if I'm the wife, I'm man or the builder listening in?
What trends are we seeing at the moment?
Yeah, what trends are you seeing at the
moment? In recent years, I'm finding that people are... a bit more nuanced in their approach. It's not always about going bigger and bolder all the time, that kind of just to attract attention or kind of, you know, just to be bold for the sake of it. Irish people in particular are becoming a lot more cosmopolitan. We're more well-travelled. We're more well-educated in terms of the materials, and we're seeing clients coming to us with a lot more industry knowledge than I would have a few years ago, which is cool, which is great, because it means we can kind of push the boundaries, and it also means we can be a bit more sophisticated in our approach and kind of refining designs. So that's probably the biggest change I've seen in the last couple of years, is the knowledge clients are bringing to us.
And do we tend to, you know, because we're so heavily influenced by other cultures, by television, etc., are we very influenced by outside factors, or, you know, London, New York, or indeed what we see on the telly? Or do we have our own sense of design as well?
I think we're all influenced across the board generally, and everyone takes their inspiration from what they've seen out and about. I think the Irish market generally at a high level and from a commercial point of view is definitely influenced by what we're seeing abroad. When we get into the residential side of things, people get a little bit more nervous and kind of tend to stick a little bit closer with what they've seen their neighbours doing or what. So we've still got a bit of growth to happen, I think, in terms of the appetite for design in the residential market, just in terms of people trying out, being a little bit bolder.
Okay. So if you're living in like a terraced road, you don't want to be the one to stand out, perhaps.
Your neighbours won't have
too much. So let's talk about some examples of your work, because as you mentioned, it's very wide ranging, anything from a pharmacy to perhaps a hotel. So give us some examples of who you've worked for and what the brief was and how you executed it.
A key client we've worked with, I suppose, a retail client, is Peter Mark. I was involved in the design for their Grafton Street salon. So that was their flagship salon. Or it still is their flagship salon. So that was a lovely, it's nice when you're a retail designer to work in the main shopping street in Dublin. We do a lot of work with a developer called Sombrook. They are developing, they seem to be buying buildings in Dublin primarily, and we're refurbishing them all, like large office buildings. And I love working on projects like that because I kind of feel like there's a sustainability element to that. It's not about building new all the time. It's refurbishing, reusing. And I think it's kind of nice to be part of projects like that, that are sort of future looking, future gazing.
Those projects, and you mentioned them, are the centre of town. From a logistics point of view, it must be a nightmare. Are you involved in a bit like, you know, crane hire and getting bodies on the ground? Are you involved in the whole element of the project from start to finish? And
typically, yeah. I mean, I don't do the programs. But we would work very closely with the contractors, and a lot of these kind of refurbishment and refits of offices are they're kind of delicate operations as well, because there's existing tenants in some floors, so they're kind of liaising with the other tenants and making sure that construction happens in appropriate hours, but also trying to like free up the time for the lads or the people on site, I should say. There might be some women on site, but for the lads to kind of crack on and get work done. So there's a delicate balance of kind of managing. And I like that's kind of up to the contractor and the foreman, but we would always be working very closely with them to see if there's angles we can use or phasing. A lot of the time it comes down to sort of phasing documents and how we can lean into the, I always kind of talk about this idea of collaboration with contractors. It's really important that there's good communication and I suppose this idea that we're all pushing the same cart up the hill. Sometimes when you're on site, that's not how it feels and it's definitely not how it goes. There's a lot of people kind of, I'm here to do my job and get my bit done, and then that can kind of cause problems. Whereas like the dream jobs are when everyone recognises that we're all kind of working to the same end goal and work together and try and keep communication strong and collaboration going. That's the dream.
Well, that leads us on very nicely. Great segue, by the way, to one of the other hats that you've been wearing and many people will know you for, and that is your role on DIY SOS, along with Baz and the team of thousands probably at this stage, to bring some much needed help. You probably have better words for it than I do, to people who really need it. So tell us about your role in that show and we'll talk, I guess, after that about the impact it's had on you and also the client.
So we're in season three. We're in the throes of filming season three, DIY SOS. And usually we take, there's a family that's very much in need. They have, every family is different. They have particular challenges. It could be, you know, wheelchair accessible or just homes that don't fit the needs for the current needs for the family. So our role in it is house design. So we would work with basically, typically, a typical DIY would we pull the building back to bare bones, like everything. It's almost a brand new build. It's like the four walls and the roof typically is left on. They're all replumbed, rewired, new windows, insulation. You know, we're always aiming for, like I suppose they're 9-day builds, but we're always aiming for the best possible outcome. This isn't just let's get this house built. This is best practice. We work with top tier construction companies. Everyone brings their A game. So it's a very technical.
Top product providers.
Top top suppliers. Oh my God.
Don't worry. It's no problem that you didn't mention it. Pat will always mention that. That's okay.
Suppliers like Chadwick's, who are phenomenal support to the show, but it is true.
No, look, in fairness, I've been at a recent one day, like it is, I said to you before, like it's, it is life changing, Eva, isn't it, when you're involved in them?
Completely.
I know from working with the Chadwick's people and the branches that are involved, it's life changing for us as well as a business to see, regardless of the Chadwick's name, but to see the difference in a house when this project starts to when it finishes and when the people come outside the front door, it's worth every, it's worth every.
I suppose all of us in some way, shape, or form in our life want to try and help others if we can. And we may not always get to do that in a meaningful way. This is the way to do it for you.
Yeah, and Baz talked about in one of the episodes that I think is his mother's philosophy, you have to find what you're good at and then give it away, which that sums up DIY for me. Is like, I'm trying to use design for good, giving, you know, using my powers for good, I suppose. But it really means something to be able to help, but also, you know, people enjoy what they're good at. So if you're good at something and you can use that to help people, like that's kind of the sweet spot. So it's the virtuous circle, isn't it? There's a lovely halo effect around that for everybody involved.
Right. Enough of the nice stuff. Take us behind the scenes, because we see the end product on the TV. And whether you work in the industry or not, whether that be the construction industry or indeed television, you can't help but wonder, how in the name of God did they pull that together? Because we're only seeing a percentage
of the tip of the iceberg.
We don't wrap Baz out though. Baz is really nice all the time.
No, but Baz can take it, trust me. Baz can take it.
He's a nice guy.
I've got Baz's back in this. Baz is my bud.
Just how big a challenge is it, and what problems, I guess, what are the most common problems that it presents for all of you?
So I suppose, I always kind of think of it like what we see on TV is literally the tip of the iceberg. There's so much below the water that you're just not seeing. So you can't build a house in 9 days without meticulous planning in advance. So we would be producing like series of very technical drawings. We're very specific with our, you know, electrical, lighting, plumbing layouts, arrangements, detailed demolition plans, detailed joinery plans, detailed schedules. We're back and forth with the likes of like Anthony in the panelling centre, who's preparing shop drawings. There's like so many layers to getting everything ready. It's like we're building a giant 3D puzzle and everything needs to be ready on site day one. And it looks chaotic, and it is, because it's mental to try and build a house in 9 days. 8.5 days, typically, if we're really being specific, because the first half a day is the opening sequence and welcome to DIY and all of that. So we lose a half a day kind of just... So 8.5 days building a house. So it just doesn't happen without weeks and months of planning and a lot of suppliers and a lot of people bringing their A game and listening to me. No, I can't have that. That won't work. There's a lot of me kind of frying people's brains to get it correct when we're on site. And yeah, I suppose we work really closely with the production company. They do a phenomenal job as well. We're like this kind of slightly crazy, dysfunctional family that managed not to kill each other by the end of a build. That's a little miracle in itself. Like,
yeah, like you mentioned, we mentioned in another podcast in relation to the tradespeople and what goes on in the trade. Like, to see what the tradespeople give to the project is absolutely phenomenal. I think there was 1,000 people came through one of the projects, like plumbers, carpenters, brickies, labourers, roofers, window fitters. Like, you just, when you sit back and look at the amount of people that come, and you see that when we're on site and you see the vans with all the different brand names, and people are giving up their time voluntarily here.
And travelling from afar.
And travelling from afar, and they've come from far just to help out. Like, it is, if you go back, it makes you very proud of being in an industry that we're in. And even if it's, you're being a bit coy in relation to like architects and planners and drawers, and all these people are giving up their time voluntarily, and it makes you think back, oh Jesus, this is like, we're doing something absolutely life changing here.
It's great, it really is, and every single person from top to bottom is to be commended for their own,
and they bring their A game
involvement.
They don't, no one's phoning it in, like everyone's there because they're good people, they want to help and they want to do a really good job. So they're genuinely like solid builds and brilliant quality, and everyone's there with a smile on their face.
Yeah, and as I think of Baz mentioned as well one day, he said every time you drive past this house, you'll remember the house that you were involved in. If you're involved in the project, you'll never forget ever when you drive past the house.
That's it. It's a permanent, lasting thing. It's not a fleeting thing. Now back to you and your business and your line of work with Restless Design. You're about 10 years.
Yeah,
10 years going. Yeah. Pat talked to somewhat about trends. Do you need to be looking at what people are doing now, or do you need to be looking beyond that so you know what Pat and I will want as our interior design plans in a couple of years' time?
Yeah, my job is to be a good few steps ahead. So if you're, a lot of the time, if you're seeing it and coming to me, it's like, I'd like to do this. I'm like, well, that's lovely. But like, it's all, to me, it's already dated. A lot of things that people come to me with. So I always say to clients, my job is to push you a little bit. You can push back and you can tell me no, but my job is to push you to make sure that we're delivering the best project. And then by all means, if you're not comfortable with how far I'm pushing you, you can say that. But yeah, I do need to be more than a couple of steps.
And where do you pick up that? Where do you pick up those inspirational ideas? Like, are you traveling, you're doing shows, or just traveling from different countries yourself in your own time, or where are you getting that kind of inspiration from?
Kind of all of the above. Obviously, travel has been a little bit limited in the last couple of years, so we haven't done as much of that as I would have liked. And a lot of it is, I suppose, when I kind of eat, sleep, breathe design and architecture. So I'm always, even in my spare time, just flicking through, if it's Pinterest or Instagram or any of the kind of online design magazines, I'm just kind of always looking at something and kind of bookmarking things like that might be useful for that project or this project. Kind of, there's a lot of tabs open in my brain at any one time.
And pinch points then within it, like if you ever get frustrated, go, oh, I can't get this product and I can't get that, are we behind the times in relation to some product that you'd be looking at going, that's not available here? Or you find that you can get most of what you're looking for in relation to your build?
I suppose it's timelines, it's a program. We can invariably get anything really if we have enough time and enough budget. Initially, after Brexit happened, there was a kind of a bottleneck there with us getting stuff, and kind of now we tend to source most stuff, as we would have a bit anyway, but just through the European market if we can't get it locally here. So that was a bit of a challenge, just kind of refocusing some of our go-to suppliers that we couldn't get in Ireland. But no, I think it's really about timelines. If you have enough time, which we don't on DIY, you can do anything.
And then you mentioned earlier, and this is a big, we've touched on this nearly all our guests, sustainability is a huge word for us, especially within Chadwicks ourselves and the Grafton Group as a PLC. We're pushing the try to push the boundaries all the time around sustainability and making ourselves more sustainable. In your line of work, and obviously you're designing stuff, you've obviously seen a massive change in relation to, I presume your clients are saying, look, can we do this as sustainable as possible? I get the impression from yourself, you're a person who appreciates the planet. Do you take that into mind when you're doing your drawings or when you're doing your designs? And
definitely. What, like that's a big thing for us. And I think that's a little bit like what I touched on earlier, where it's the kind of the knowledge that clients are coming to us with as well. Before, like even a couple of years ago, trying to get some products through that were sustainable, that might be a little bit more expensive, they'd get vetoed at the kind of budget stage. Whereas we're finding now more and more people are prepared to pay a little bit more to be able to say to their kids, no, we're good people, we're minding the planet. I definitely find that there's a greater appreciation. And there's more materials on the market now, and there's a greater opportunity to be sustainable. We're not where we need to be. But okay. I think unless we have to just keep pushing on that. But yes, it's definitely a priority for clients.
And I think people are beginning to, and they've been at it for years, but you can see there's definitely a bigger draw now towards sustainable products. People will ask that question. Is it how sustainable is this product? And if there's a bit more, you're spot on with the price wise. Years ago, people go, oh no, that's too expensive. But now they're saying, actually, you know what? In the longer term, the payback will be much better. So you can see it there. So that's interesting.
Mm. All right, Aoife, thanks so much for joining us. Final question, Blue Skies Thinking. I'm sure you've worked on some of your dream projects. I'm sure DIY SOS ticks that box to a certain degree. But is there something when you wake up in the morning or go to bed at night as an interior designer, you go, if only I could get my hands on that hotel or that project? Or
yeah, there's all, like, hotels are lovely ones to get, but I actually, my dream project is about the team and the wider. It's like, if you've got a good brief, a creative brief, a client that trusts you, that trusts the process, and a team like your consultants that are all, everybody's working together and collaborating, then you can really make beautiful things happen. So it's more about, it's about kind of about the people and an appetite for design and an appetite to innovate. That's the dream, really.
Nicely said. Where can people find out more about Restless Design?
Restless.design, that's our website. We're also on Instagram under restless.design.
Great stuff. Aoife Rattigan, Creative Director at Restless Design. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Now we are joined by Anthony Ridgway, who has a claim for the greatest surname we've had on the podcast so far. Would you agree, Pat?
Well, yeah. Okay.
Anthony's the general manager at the Panelling Centre. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. It's great to see you.
Right, the Panelling Centre, it does what it says on the tin, but it does a whole lot more. Before we get into exactly what it is, and most people listening will know your business inside out, but you've a pretty rich history in Dublin.
Yeah, we do. Established 1973, originally, if the history's right, Griffith Avenue, then moved to Drumcondra, famously on Richmond Road for many years. And then we moved up to Furry Park and Santry in 2003, and we've never looked back since then. So, you know, we created a big brand in the Panelling Centre. It's a central warehouse there, so we're able to, you know, stock a lot more product to have it ready for the trade customer, which is key to our success, really.
And when you started out in 1973, was it kitchens, wardrobes, interior products, or have you grown the range?
Well, originally it was selling pallets, I understand. Yeah,
in other words, he wasn't born and he wasn't around in 1973.
I was not, no.
He doesn't look, I know he looks old, but he's not that old.
I'm not for one suggesting that Anthony is the founder or is any older than he is.
Well,
you know the history.
I joined the business in 1990 and we were selling kitchen components, very basic kitchen components at the time. It was well in 92, 93 before he brought flat pack kitchens in. We were the first in Ireland to bring flat pack kitchen into stock. Brought it in two colours, white and a cream. That's now grown to four different colours. So what we do is we offer a kit to the trade customer. So it's like a massive jigsaw puzzle put together. So there's very little labour for our trade customers because all the drilling for the drawer systems are already pre-done for the customer. So it's very, very good. It's been a huge success for us.
But I think, look, to be fair, if you remember back in the day when you were using kitchens, there was chipboard and the melamine covered, you know, chipboard covered melamine and a little bit of timber and need to open the press. To be fair, the Panelling Centre has brought the whole sector and the whole kitchen industry to a complete different level. I mean, you go in and look at the showrooms in Furry Park, or you go to Dean's Grange, or you go to the one in Galway, or you go to the one in Limerick. Like, just don't bring your partner with you because you'll end up spending millions.
So quite a bit. A bit. But we offer great value. Great value. The quality is excellent, but we offer great value. You get a lot of kitchen for your money with the Panelling Centre. And that's what the trade like about us. The quality being, particularly when we were, again, one of the first to introduce soft close drawers, a standard, soft close hinges, a standard. There are companies out there still offering non-soft close, which nobody wants anymore. So, you know, it was a risk because they were a bit more expensive, but it's paved the way.
Are you innovators in that sense that, and particularly tradespeople might know this, that if they have a client, a customer who wants a kitchen, wants a state-of-the-art kitchen, wants the best, that really it's the paneling center is the first choice of place to go?
Absolutely.
Because you have the leading design that you might get elsewhere in the world.
Well, we go around Europe now that the trade shows are back open. Like, we were in Birmingham in March. A colleague and I of mine are going to Milan in start of next month. We'll be in Germany next year, and again in Pordenone in Northern Italy in October. So you go see the latest trends from mainly Italian suppliers. Italian lead the way when it comes to kitchen design, styling and quality. So we do our research. We look at what trends are coming. It's all about colours right now. Everybody wants a different colour. So 10, 12 years ago, we had white and ivory. Now you've got dark colours, blacks, charcoals, even reds, would you believe? And I've seen some yellow colours coming through. So, you know, it's a wide range. And what we do in Paneling Centre, we offer stock colours. So we've got green in stock now, kind of a teal blue colour. We also offer that door in a primed. So the trade customer can take a prime door away and get a paint any colour they want for their clients.
Have you seen you've seen a big change in relation to painting kitchens now as well? Is that really in vogue now? Or?
Oh, painting is huge. Yeah, it really is. Again, looking at the wall panelling there, it really is. It can be any colour. I remember we had a customer come in with a handbag. I want my kitchen the same colour as a handbag. Yeah, and it's doable. There are people out there who match colours, any colour you want.
What colour was the handbag, as a matter of interest?
We're purple colour, actually. It was very dark purple. Snakeskin. Yeah.
Can you match my alligator handbag? That's amazing. Have you seen, has there been a change in materials over the last number of years that people are using? And say when it comes to, like, do you do countertops and that?
Yeah, well, the countertops, the technology gone into countertops is massive now. Everything used to be post-form worktops. You need to get blacks and you get glossies. Glossies, not so popular anymore, but we're now doing a product called Leading Edge, which is an edge, square edge worktop. And it comes in all sorts of different colours, but the finish on the edge is also almost identical to the worktop. So for all intents and purposes, it looks like a solid granite worktop or a solid wood worktop, fraction of the price and far more durable.
Tell us about your relationship with Chadwicks, because you are part of the Chadwicks group.
Yeah, well, we've a very close relationship, obviously. We've got implants into Chadwicks and Wellpark in Galway. We work with Cork Builders Providers, Chadwicks and Ennis, and Telford's and Portlaoise. Particularly in Cork and in Galway, they have a huge trade customer base, which is, again, a lot of flat packs. Because stock, again, that's what you get from the panelling centre. If you walk in the panelling centre today, you can walk out 45 minutes later with a full kitchen.
Wow.
All worktops, all handles, you name it.
So you keep a lot of product in stock.
A lot of product in stock, yeah. We've over 25 kitchen door ranges in stock, 15 bedroom door ranges in stock. We have 4 flat pack carcasses, 4 different colours. We're also going to bring in a rigid carcass, so fully assembled carcass, to speed up things for the trade customer. We've 1 coloured wardrobe carcass at the moment. We're bringing the second one in a light grey colour to match the oak one, which is very, very popular.
And look, I think that's what we found out in the last number of weeks through research we've done. The tradesman wants speed. You want speed. Ease of project and speed of project. I think what the panelling centre are offering them is that both of those project, both of those elements are captured in the panelling centre. In relation to sustainability, and we've discussed sustainability on several podcasts, you're obviously involved in the Grafton Group. Sustainability is in your DNA, as we say. What sort of stuff are you guys doing in relation to sustainability?
What we're doing at the moment, like foil wrap doors would have got a bad name, plastic wrap doors. There's ecological foils coming out now. What the Italian supplier is looking to do is put that on 100% recycled MDF and using a different kind of glue system. So that's coming at the moment. With the emergence of painting being massive in the industry is looking at a water-based paint. Now, it's not quite there yet, so they can't use it in mass because it doesn't perform very well. So they will get that right soon. But also taking VOCs out of the manufacturing of paint, of volatile organic compounds, taking them out of the paints, again, from an ecological point of view, is huge. And customers expect that now. All our suppliers, mainly in mainland Europe, are all PEFC or FSC certified suppliers to get their timber from, sustainable resources. So, we do all that due diligence before we buy from anybody.
And because you carry so much in stock, I mean, Pat and I have spoke to many people over the past number of weeks about supply issues. Does that affect you less?
Yeah, it can if we get our ordering right. But there are certain door ranges where the metal might not be available from mainland Europe, and you could be waiting up to 8 months to get the door, believe it or not. So it can be a problem. But because of so much stock, and we've got really, really good suppliers, really loyal suppliers, we don't have a pile of suppliers that we're, you know, giving a bit to him and a bit to her. We give it a lot to, you know, certain suppliers that are loyal to us. So our supply has been really good, apart from one or two ranges where we've had problems. Biggest issue at the moment, I suppose, are solid timber worktops and that kind of stuff. Because unfortunately, we're coming out of Ukraine. A lot of oak comes out of Ukraine. So that's been an issue. But we've managed that through more local suppliers, you know, buying from a company in the west of Ireland and that kind of stuff. So,
isn't it amazing how much we're finding out is made or produced in Ukraine? That most everyday people certainly
never knew. Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah.
So, how do you see the next 12 to 18 months going from your point of view in business?
For us, we're still innovating. We just brought in a handleless shaker style door. You can have it, so the handle is in the frame, so you can either put a handle on it if you like or not. We're also bringing a narrow shaker painted door. We'd be the first ones in Europe to bring this one in. It sells huge in America. So it's a 60mm frame, but it's painted with no line. So it's real niche. It's just on trend at the moment. We're bringing that in three colours with a primed version of it.
I hope you met Aoife on the way in. She'll be all over it.
All over that, absolutely. Yeah. She loves our kitchens. But again, the price, it's so well priced because we're buying thousands of doors at a go, putting into stock in Furry Park, and then we distribute around the branches. So again, buying from Italian suppliers. We're buying from suppliers that the top end European kitchen designer, the Pog and Paul, C-Matic, these kind of places are buying from, but at a fraction of the price.
Super, Anthony. Well, just remind us before we say goodbye where people can get the product, but also, just as important, go and see it.
Well, go and see it. We've got four high quality showrooms, three in Dublin, one in Santry, Old Airport Road. We've got one in Lomer Road, one in Dean's Grange Business Park, and we've got a branch in Limerick, in Ballysimon Road. We've also got then the Chadwick branches, with Chadwick's in Well Park in Galway. We've got Cork Builders Providers, Telford's in Portlaoise, Chadwick's in Ennis.
Anthony Ridgeway, General Manager at the Panelling Centre, thanks a million for joining us.
Have you seen my new kitchen?
Yes, it's gorgeous. Why have you been so loud?
The fit, the finish, the soft close action.
Okay, great, but you know I can hear you, right?
Oh, and the quality, it's just incredible.
You know I'm standing right here, beside you, within earshot.
Fit a kitchen your clients will want to shout about. With decades of experience under our belts and kitchens in stock now, you can rely on the Panelling Centre to deliver on choice, on quality, on price and on time. Visit your local store or panellingcentre.ie to find out more.
Next up on Under Construction with Chadwicks, we are talking to Jackie Carton. Now, Jackie is the owner and director at Carton Interiors and the president of the Interiors Association of Ireland. More on that in a moment. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, guys. How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. Yeah, you couldn't be with us in person, but you dialed in and we appreciate that because you are in the middle of several jobs, more than three on one go today as an interior designer. So things are good. You're very busy.
I am. I think most designers are at the moment. I mean, let's just think about it. During lockdown, we all looked at our four walls for the whole time. So now we all just want to renovate and change what's there. So the demand for our services is huge at the moment. Yeah, it's great.
And Jackie, it's the first time having a president on the show. So that's a first for us, which is great.
We're honoured.
We're honoured. Can you tell us a little bit about your presidency annually and also about the Interiors Association of Ireland?
Sure. Yeah, I have been president for the last 2 years, so it's a 2-year term. The Interiors Association itself, it's the organisation that represents interior designers and interior design architects and even some architects in Ireland. So we're the only body that exclusively represents interior designers, which is great because, you know, like any, you know, trade or any professional organization, you need somebody to represent your members. So the Interiors Association does that. Membership is for people who have qualified to a certain level and who have a certain level of experience. So, you know, we're supporting professional accredited members along with students, and we also have industry partners and so on as well. So it's multifaceted in that sense.
And then from the point of view of clients and customers, is that a place that you would recommend they go to find the certified best people?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the first page of the Interiors Association website, you have two options. It's to join if you're a designer, or it's to find a designer if you're a homeowner. So that is huge. I mean, obviously, we're trying to, you know, get people who are doing renovation projects to involve a qualified designer. And, you know, to that end, all our members would be listed in a database there. And, you know, there would be links to their websites and so on. So just by virtue of them being on the website in the first place and listed as a member, that sort of gives a homeowner something to go off in terms of that their designer has some sort of qualification, you know, and that there's a certain level that they've achieved in order to be engaged on the project, which is only a good thing in my book.
Jack, you mentioned there people going onto the website and joining up. We had a programme a couple of weeks ago in relation to apprenticeships and people getting into the construction sector and our sector. Yourself then, in relation to your piece, if I'm leaving school, and people will be leaving school in a few weeks' time with the Leaving Cert's coming up, what kind of paths are there to get into interior design?
Yeah, it's a good question because it's, you know, it's something people often think of doing but wouldn't have any idea how to go about it. And it wouldn't necessarily be one that comes on the radar, you know, within school, kind of when they're doing CAO forms and so on. But there are colleges that offer interior design and interior design architecture courses. I suppose maybe I should differentiate the two because they are two different things. An interior design architect would be a longer course and it would include interior design, but it would also include more on, say, structures. And, you know, somebody like that would be qualified to do space planning within the interior to a much greater level than somebody who maybe focuses on furnishings and colour schemes and fabrics and so on. So the two are interlinked, but one would be a longer qualification. Typically, an interior design architect would be a 3-year degree. And there are colleges that offer that. So if anybody's leaving school and they're interested, I would definitely recommend they consider doing the degree course because it's going to give you that extra bit of qualification. If somebody's not sure if they want to get into it or not, sometimes a 1-year certificate, maybe in interior design, would be enough to give them a flavour and see if it really is for them. Because again, people are a little bit mystified as to what's involved, and sometimes a year of that could give somebody... I want to go into the technical side and do interior architecture or even architecture, or actually I want to just stay and do the soft furnishings and the colour schemes and the sourcing and the materials and stay and keep that as my lane. So obviously I'd suggest they try and get into a company to do some work experience if at all possible, because that's really the way that's going to show you if it's for you, if you can get in and see even for a few weeks how an actual studio works. That would give you a great grounding. The one thing I would say about people trying to start off, though, is that they don't always have to be good at art, because that's a bit of a misconception. And people think they have to be able to draw or they have to be able to paint or so on because it's a creative profession. It is, but it's equally technical. You know, so you would have to be as good at drawing and understanding measurements as you would be at picking colours.
Okay, so yeah, it isn't about just... I say just, but having a good eye for interiors and design, it is more technical
exactly,
than that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And it's a good industry to get into. Like you said, you're certainly very busy. It's a booming industry at the moment. So how common is it for residential people to hire an interior designer than say it was, say, 10, 15 years ago?
I think definitely way more common now. I think people are a lot less scared to hire a designer, possibly because of things like programs, TV programs. We all love watching the programs and taking a look inside a house as it's being done, how it's being finished. And that's all, those programs are so, so popular with people. So between that and, you know, online where you have the likes of Pinterest, you know, Instagram, where you can instantly see things that can inspire you. They didn't really exist, you know, 20 years ago. You didn't have all that inspiration at your fingertips. So people are becoming much more aware of design and good design, which is fantastic, and sort of wanting a little bit more than just the average. You know, 20 years ago, it might have been all knotty pine floors and magnolia walls or, you know.
Easy there now. Aiden still has that in his house. Easy, Jackie, now.
I think we're all to some degree getting flashbacks there when you mentioned magnolia. That's
well, chip wallpaper.
We all are. I'm thinking of my own parents' house too. It's the way it has been. And I suppose people just want a little bit more now. They've become so aware that design and good design can influence how they feel in their houses. and especially since COVID, isn't that a fantastic thing that your home can actually influence how you feel?
Mm. And it is interesting how technology and social media and such is driving that. Mm-hmm. So what's it like then dealing with tradespeople who are working in the home? Is this a relatively new departure and experience for them to have to deal with an interior designer as well as the client directly?
I think so. I mean, we'd be hired by the client, but obviously we have to liaise with the trades because we can have the most amazing vision, but we need the trades to bring it to life. You know, I can't lay a block to save my life and I can't do carpentry. So I'm relying on these guys to execute the vision for me. So that's huge. And they might not be familiar with dealing with designers, or they might have a bit of a misconception of designers as going to make their life more difficult or wanting something that's awkward. Whereas in reality,
that's usually how it's portrayed on the TV programs anyway, Jackie.
It kind of is. I'm not going to lie.
The designer fighting with the tradespeople.
Jackie, we know you're nice. Don't worry.
It is. I am nice. My trades love me. No, I think if you're a good designer, you should be able to you know, bear in mind that the certain, you know, and that's where it comes back to the technicalities and measurements and so on, and understanding spatial planning. If you understand all that, you can tailor your design to be able to be made, and then the trades are able to make it. I think where the conflict comes is when somebody wants something that's not easily achievable, you know.
And the designer wants to put a circle into a square, and the tradesman has to put it in there.
Completely, you know, and we do have crazy ideas sometimes, but it's about communicating together to get that vision and get it across the line and get it made, you know, because the trades really do bring it to life.
Just in relation to Jackie then, and trends, what have you seen trending in the last number of years?
COVID changed everything. I mean, trends as such, I personally don't particularly like the term because it implies that you're following something for the sake of following it. If you think about it, like you're putting in rose gold fittings into your house because that's a trend, not necessarily because you like them. So first and foremost, I think the biggest trend of the moment is, you know, to style your space to suit yourself. So individuality, you know, making our homes reflect who we are. COVID has brought that in buckets. Like, it's just everybody has reevaluated what their home means to them. And again, I think that's only a good thing. You know, sustainability has become more important, like where we're sourcing things from, like the cost of everything has changed. So, you know, trying to reuse things where we can, having a lower carbon footprint, all of this has come in. And you could call it a trend if you want, but I think it's just a leaning towards something that's just really good in general. You know, biophilic design, bringing plants and nature and the outdoors in to kind of calm your mood. Again, only a good thing in my opinion. So I think trends are probably less about what's visually popular and more about, you know, how your space is being created to make you feel.
All right, Jackie. So the most important thing for all our tradesfolk listening when they are working with an interior designer is?
Communicate.
Just to reiterate everything can be solved if we talk it out, yeah?
It can. Try not assume anything or make decisions without, you know, checking it first. Again, with technology, you can have a WhatsApp group, you can have a text, you can do whatever you want, but it's very easy to communicate. It only takes 2 seconds. If someone's not on site, send them a little video, WhatsApp video call them, do something like that and get the question answered. I mean, none of us want to be redoing stuff. It's the stuff of heartbreak. So if we have to take down a wall, if we have to redo something, it's a nightmare, you know, and nobody's happy and the client's not happy. So communicate with your designer and between the two of you, you'll get it done. But that's my biggest takeaway. If there's anything I could say, that would be it.
That's good advice, Jackie. Well, look, thanks so much for joining us. Where can people find out more about Carton Interiors and also the association as well of Interiors Association Ireland?
Yeah, the Interiors Association is theinteriorsassociation.ie. That has everything you need there, from our list of members to how to join if you are a designer and you haven't heard of us. Take a look. And my own website is cartoninteriors.ie. Again, easy enough to remember, and everything is on there about me and everything I do.
Fantastic. Jackie Carton, thank you so much for joining us. Now, we are joined by Geraldine O'Donoghue. Now, Geraldine's the appliance manager at In-House Appliance Centre. But I suspect, and Pat's been giving me a little bit of background knowledge, you're a whole lot more than that and have been involved in the industry in a very interesting way for a considerable amount of time. Hello, first off, Geraldine. How are you?
Hi, Pat and Aidan. It's wonderful to be here. I'm, in fact, really delighted to be here to tell you about the fantastic industry we have here in Dean's Grange.
All right, well, we'll talk about that in a moment, but you're somewhat of a pioneer in the appliance sector, aren't you?
I am. I'm there for years and years, I have to say, but I have a long way to go. I have to go until Mary Berry is about the same age as Mary Berry, and I'll be very happy.
That's the benchmark. Okay,
that's
Well, that's a long time away, but take us back to how it started and how you owned the title of being the first person to bring appliances into the country.
I joined after college. I joined Hoover, and then, as you know, people get to know you in the industry, and Phillips asked me to join them, and myself and God rest his soul, Danny Parkinson, went off to Italy, and we brought in, they built in appliances with Phillips. Now, of course, they're called Whirlpool. And then after that, Dietrich asked me to join them. And then, of course, I was in, you know, business in Mountjoy Square. And then Chadwick's Joy, we became part of Chadwick's. And it was the best decision, shall we say, I ever made.
Right, that's
the
because
opportunity.
Chadwick's, in fact, you know, they're a 200-year company. Established 200 years ago, and really they know what business is about. And so they built a store for me in Dean's Grange Business Park, and it's very high-end luxury.
Now, when we say high-end,
yes,
how high are we talking?
Well, what we do
give us a ballpark here now.
Yes.
Hold on a second, Erlin. I'll tell you how high-end is. Do not go in there looking for a 200-euro washing machine. You'll come out with a 200,000-euro washing machine. That's how high-end
not
it is.
Not exactly, Pat. Not,
you're dealing
no,
with,
no,
you're
no,
dealing
no,
with
no.
a saleswoman there.
We ascertain the customer's needs, you know. So that's very, very important. But we do Sub-Zero, we do Wolf, we do Visug. We do Miele, we do Quaker boiling hot water taps and all different types of taps. We have Siemens, of course, Bosch and Neff, Fisher & Paykel, you know, La Conche, anything really that you're looking for, which is the best quality we can get, really. And we pride ourselves on service and, of course, an excellent price. We do fantastic package deals. And it's wonderful with Chadwick's because I can deal with the trade. I can deal with interior designers. I can deal with, of course, the public and, of course, all my loyal customers from years ago.
And Geraldine, when a customer walks in, and we are joking aside and all this, you do have vast experience in relation to the electrical sector.
Yes.
And people
yes.
don't just go in and buy a washing machine or a fridge or whatever from you.
Yes.
There's an experience there. When the customer comes in, you have a certain style and a way of dealing with people that it's phenomenal around the industry. You're well known for it. What do you see when a customer comes in? How do you take that customer through that journey?
If you come in to me, I ascertain your needs, first of all. You know, I see what your budget is, and also... it's about design as well. You know, some people are not really in, they just want it to look well. But they think they know everything before they come into me and they say, Geraldine, I just only want a short time with you and I know what I want. But I tell you, nobody, I can say, has ever bought the appliances that they came in to look for.
Really?
You know, but they go out extremely happy. You know, it's about, like, I would look at, say, they certainly do, Pat, now.
Well, they do. It's not their wallet isn't happy, though.
No.
Who's more happy?
They
are so
excited about what they buy. Because I just, you know, I asked them, first of all, bring me in a plan of your kitchen. And then, of course, I see, is it handleless or should we have a handleless oven, you know, and what style, what shape of the handle it is, and we get the same style. So it's all looking very streamlined, very, very streamlined. And if they're buying stainless steel, they don't mix silver with it. You know, they get a brushed stainless steel tap. And of course, we have the new sinks that are the edge sinks, so no undermount where the dirt collects, you know. So,
and you must have seen over the years the kitchen was always part of the centre of Ireland, but now kitchens have just exploded in relation to the appliances available.
Yes.
So you have your, I remember now, warm plate,
your warming
plate,
oven.
That's with the hot tap now.
Yes,
like,
yes.
You must have seen massive
and
changes.
And we have open plan as well. So I start with the ventilation, cooker hoods. Very, very important when we, you know, we have open plan. Because, you know, for your mental health, after a day's work, you know, a lot of people just go home and they cook up a storm, you know, to take it out in the oven rather than I take it out in the oven rather than my husband. So, in fact, I have to have a quiet hood. I have to have a very quiet hood. And I have a motor outside in my hood for 20 years. So I have no noise in the kitchen. And then, you know, if you can't have your motor outside, you can get the new style of NRS. Noise reduction. And then, of course, for the new heat recovery system, we have new filters, which will last for 5 years, and you regenerate them in the oven. So you have to come in to me to get the latest technology and to know exactly what you're buying.
Right.
You know, and you'll save a lot of money, really. You will save a lot of money.
So the innovation has been phenomenal. And it's almost
and that's why
space age level of technology.
That's why I'm still in it, because I'm so passionate about appliances.
Yeah.
You know, I go to the factories. It's just amazing.
How has the quality changed over the years? Because are the days of buying a washer dryer that you might get, you know, it might be cheap, but you're only going to get 4 or 5 years out of it. Has that changed? Are we investing more in long-term appliances?
Like the Swiss are fantastic. They make, you know, washing machines they cost 3,000. But when you take the clothes out, there's no creasing. So you have so little ironing.
That's what you want. Hear the music to your man's ears.
Now my ears lit up. I was like, 3,000 for a good washing machine.
Yes, but you'll spend it on a cruise.
But if it ironed me clothes, I'll go up to dinner now.
If you get involved in the conversation, but you'll end up buying a washing machine.
You will, really. In fact, I had a customer, a few years ago, and she went over to Visa. Her daughter was working over there, and they were expecting their first child. And she came back to me and she said, you know, her mother went over and she said, Geraldine, I've discovered Vizook appliances, the combination steam oven and, you know, the washing machine and a dryer and all of that. And she says, I want to buy them, you know. And this is really what, it's all word of mouth. This is, you know, we give demonstrations. Like, there's no point, are you into cooking, Pat?
I am into cooking, yes.
Are you? And what about you, Ian?
I love cooking, yeah. I love putting things in the microwave.
Oh,
and
no, this is not, please.
No, I'm joking. No. I do like
yes,
cooking.
You
yes,
you do
yes,
like
yes,
cooking. To a point. Now, you know the latest thing. You really don't reheat in a microwave anymore. You know, years ago, they used to buy a combination microwave and a single oven. Now, most people are buying two single ovens. But you regenerate with the latest trend. I have one for years now, but it's so well tested, is combination steam cooking. So you regenerate. Say Sunday's dinner, your Yorkshire pud or whatever, it all comes out crispy. Your croissants in the morning, if you put it into a microwave, what happens?
Soggy.
Oh, yes. They come out so crispy, it's unbelievable. So combination steam cooking. So really what you should do is buy a basic microwave, put it into your pantry, you know, your French door pantries, and just plug it in.
Yeah.
And then go for your two single ovens. Regeneration. Last Saturday, my phone kept ringing and I was dealing with customers. And just after when the customer left, I answered and she said, Geraldine, I just want to tell you, I'm after having a dinner party last night and people could not believe the quality of the meat. It was more tender than you could imagine, you know. And like, I kept telling her about this, Vizook soft roast. But I don't think she realised. She said, I have to really thank you. So it's very important to give the right advice, to know exactly what you're talking about.
And to know that if you are willing to spend a premium amount of money, it's not just a brand name and reliability, but it's also the technology and the innovation in it.
Yes, and you have to be. There's no point in selling, combination steam cooking if you're never going to use it.
And Geraldine, you mentioned earlier in relation to sustainability and the machines they used to make many years ago with respect to what they're doing now. You know, you mentioned if you're very passionate about sustainability and reusing. Give us a bit of insight around, you know, where that means for you, what that means for you, and what you want the industry to do.
The industry to probably invest in better quality appliances and, you know, to have a lot of our factories too in Europe, because it's costing a lot to come back, you know, for its transport. It's using a lot of our energy. And really, I feel that people should not feel they're wasting money buying good appliances. Like, a lot of my customers are coming back 20 years now and they expect the same. But unfortunately, unless, you know, they have to spend the money to get the quality, really. You know, like a Wolf oven, you know, how many people would take even to carry it? A Vizook oven, a Miele oven, you know, and, you know, Miele dishwashers. Range cookers, you know, you have to buy good quality. Because really, it's like a cake tin. There's no point in cooking a cake in a very poor cake tin. And the very same with appliances. You know, it's the oven that with the right temperature, you have your, you know, your meat thermometer, and you really need good appliances. It's like good ingredients to get the results. It makes a big difference to have good appliances. You know, even washing, you know, whites come out whiter. You know, even out of a Miele machine, they're fantastic whites. Your woolens are taken care of.
And when it comes to the designing and the planning of your kitchen, at what stage do you think about the appliances?
In the very beginning.
Okay.
Before you design your kitchen. Because, you see, people, that's the nice part of the build, really. You know, both people now and both partners are very interested in cooking now, and the family and the open plan kitchen, of course, has brought in all of this. But very important to choose your appliances first, because then you can choose your colour scheme. And like you, and you know, you can have all black or mirror, no steel. And of course, you have brass and steel now, which is quite popular as well. Yeah.
Okay, doke. And so, should people then, in the planning of this, book a consultation with you or?
Or our team. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. We are based in Dean's Grange Business Park, beside, you know, where the NCT is, you know, just down the road from there. And yes, you make an appointment, and you can, of course, you can put it on the builder's account as well. You know, in Chadwick's, we have wonderful builders, you know, some amazing builders, and it can go all on their account.
I think you can ascertain from the interview, like, how passionate Geraldine is about the industry, but also about what she does in Dean's Grange. And to be fair, the quality of the product is second to none, but the customer service is, like, I'd be joking with Geraldine about spending money, but when you do go in there, it is a bit more of an experience than walking into a traditional electrical appliance centre.
It certainly feels, from meeting you, it's like a bespoke service almost that
you
offer.
Well, it is, yes. And I think it's so important to ascertain the customer's needs, really. You know, to be totally, not let them go over their budget, which is important as well. And to see what they like doing. Some people just don't like cooking.
And serve them best, as opposed to wanting to sell them a certain product.
Exactly, you know. And some people are very much into laundry. They're not into cooking, you know. Mm. So we just, you like ironing, so.
Do not go
You base that on the crease t-shirt that I'm wearing.
Very good. I see that you enjoy ironing, so it's very, very good, I have to say.
Geraldine, it's been lovely to meet you. Geraldine O'Donoghue, who is the appliance manager at In-House Appliance Centre. Where's the best place that people could get in touch to acquire your unique services?
At panellingcentre.ie.
Wonderful. Geraldine, thank you so much. Well, you did promise four guests, Pat, and you did deliver each experts in their field. So if we learned anything about interior design, it's grey is kind of...
Grey's gone.
Grey's gone. So I have to repaint me a whole house.
The whole thing in a mauve colour or something. Yeah.
Back to Magnolia.
Yeah, that was a fun-filled, packed event. I'm wrecked.
Well, a big thank you to Aoife and to Jackie and to Geraldine and also to Anthony for being with us and imparting their knowledge. We hope it was of benefit to you. And thank you for listening. Pat, we'll see you next week.
Thanks a million. Take care.
The Under Construction Podcast is produced by the Podcast Studios for Chadwicks, Ireland's leading building merchants company, where you can choose from the best products and expert advice to get the job done. Drop into any of your local Chadwicks stores nationwide or visit us online at chadwicks.ie.